Would you please open to Romans chapter 4? Romans chapter 4. I want to point some things out to you, a story we're familiar with, and I hope it helps us. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to read these stories in the Bible and overlook details that are very obvious, but we just don't, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees or the trees for the forest, however it goes. Well, it's kind of like that sometimes in Scripture. You see things, you read it, and it's like, okay, and you just keep reading, but you don't really pick up on what's happening here. Well, in Romans chapter 4, let's just read this passage, and we'll go back and start breaking a little bit of it down. Verse 13, for the promise that he, speaking of Abraham, should be the heir of the world. That word world is the word cosmos. It literally means the sum total of the material universe. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So, we talk about Abraham, we call him the father of faith. And I understand that, because he did demonstrate a tremendous amount of faith. Well, back up in this to verse 13. For the promise that he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now stop right there. Let this sink in. Heir of the world. The sum total of the material universe. That word world comes from the Greek word cosmos. The sum total of the material universe. Heir, inheritor of the world. It says here that it wasn't based upon the law. What law? Well, the law of Moses, or the law that God gave to the Israelites through Moses. Keep your finger here and turn over to Galatians. We're coming right back to Romans in a moment. But turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Let's see a little bit more about this promise and this, you know, heir of the world. In Galatians chapter 3, first look in verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, this is interesting, because, and I don't have the liberty to go very far with this, but if you read this closely and you accept it for what it says, God is looking past Abraham over numerous generations to one person. Do you see this? I hope, because if you get this, it's going to unlock a whole lot of understanding concerning Scripture. It says to Abraham and his seed were the... Now, what's that next word? Not a trick question. It's right in front of you. Just look at it. What's that next word? Promises. Plural. Promises. To Abraham and his seed singular, Christ, were the promises, plural, made. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about us being joint heirs with Christ. Now, very briefly, and again, you know, don't have time, won't take the time to go through a lot of this in detail. This means if you see a promise in here, it belongs to you if you are born again. If you are, now listen closely, if you are not born again, the promise is not to you. Very clear. That's what this says. Do you see that? Well, you know, there are people out there who want to tell you, well, we're all God's children. No, you're not. You're not. It isn't that God doesn't love you, but until you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, you don't fit into this, because that's what this is talking about. And he says, look, the promise was made to Abraham and his seed, not everybody and their brother, but to one, Christ. And if you are Christ's, if you are one with Christ, then you are a joint heir according to this promise. So the promises, you can go ahead and turn back over to Romans. The promises are for us. What promise? Well, man, whatever you see in here, promises. But I'll tell you this much. You can go back and start with Abraham. And if you read the promises that God made in light of who God was talking to, you're going to see a whole lot of things in Scripture that maybe you've never seen before. Now look here, again in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Okay, right there that tells us that we have inherited the cosmos. Doesn't that sound far-fetched and crazy? Well, sure it does. But does not Scripture say that if you're Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Well, sure. Here it says the promise that he should be heir of the world. You say, well, I think that's just a little bit far-fetched to believe that we'd be, you know, heirs of the cosmos, the entire universe. Okay, fine. Then let's eliminate everything in the universe except Earth. Heirs of the world, right? So even if it just means planet Earth, that's a pretty big deal. And I'm not going to go into all of that. That's a bunch of sermons unto itself. And he says that this had nothing to do with the keeping of the law, but everything to do with the righteousness that comes as a result of faith, and that faith has to be placed in Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 14 he says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. Meaning, look, if all you have to do is take a look at all the things, the conditions listed in the law, all the feasts, sacrifices, so on and so forth, and if that's what makes you this heir, he said, well, then faith is meaningless, because all you have to do is perform the works. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, now look here at this verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Well, if you don't pay close attention, it almost sounds like he's contradicting himself. But what he's saying is, look, it's by faith and grace. If you had previously been living under the law, but you will turn that around and put your faith in Jesus Christ, then by grace are you saved through faith. Not of those works that you used to perform, but it's by God's grace as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ. And also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, meaning people Well, Gentiles, I guess is one way to say it. People who never knew the law, never heard the law. And in Romans chapter 2, it talks about the Gentiles, you know, having that change of heart and so forth. But notice he says, it is of faith by grace. Of faith by grace. Of faith by grace. What does that mean? That means every single promise that we see. Now, I'll say it like this. Every single promise that we see here is administered into our life by the grace of God as a result of our faith in Him and His Word and those promises. In other words, I cannot earn a promise. I can receive it through faith because of His grace. And that's what he's trying to point out here. You cannot do something to get what God has promised to those who have faith. Can't happen. And in verse 17, he says, as it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now notice this. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. It does not say calleth those things which are as though they were not. Do you see that? That's huge. Let me give you an example. You ever heard people say things like, I'm not sick? And they're sneezing, they're hacking, they're throwing up. You know, their legs broken, barely hanging off their hip. I'm not sick and I'm not hurt. I'm a faith man. Well, you sure look messed up. I'll not confess it, bless God. So what are you telling me? I'm not sick. Really? So what's with all the sneezing, the hacking, the, you know? I'm not sick. Okay, but what's with all the sneezing, the hacking? I'm not sick. But what's with all the... some people, they will not admit to their conditions. Why believe for healing if there's not a need for it? Come on. Call up those things which be not. What is the be not? That my body is no longer fighting this sickness. I speak of the healing over the sickness, but I don't walk around with my head buried in the sand or stuffed in the clouds and act totally oblivious to my current condition. You know, bless God, my needs are met. And I'm going to write this check. Yeah, but you don't have any money in the checking account. How dare you say? That check's going to bounce to the moon, man. And then when the bank calls you and wants to know why you're writing rubber checks, don't you tell them what church you go to. I don't want them calling me. Well, I'm not going to go way off on this tangent, but bottom line is you've got a lot of Christians out there just whacked out when it comes to faith. Okay, moving on. Verse 18. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. It says he considered not his own body now dead. He's about 100 years old. Neither considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now keep your finger, bookmark something here. Let's go all the way back to Genesis and take a look at this. Get a clearer picture. Turn to Genesis 17. We're going to come back to Romans in just a moment. Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, verse 24, and Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So he's 99 years old. It's about 100. This continues in chapter 18. Said the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it to the young man. And he hastened to dress it. Do you realize how long it's taking to do all this? You know, Sarah's got to bake some bread, and this guy's got to kill a calf and, you know, do whatever's necessary to cook some of it. So this isn't like a drive-through at Wendy's, all right? You know, they're going to be there for a while. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they, the 3 men, said unto him, Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. He's 99. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Meaning, she's no longer having her cycles. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now, we've got kids in this place tonight. She's talking about, you know what she's talking about. But what's that saying? The deadness of Abraham's body. Meaning at 99, those days are over. Glory to God. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, the deadness of their bodies, all right? She is past the monthly cycle, and he's past his thing. Let's go back to Romans. Hallelujah. But now look at this. It says in verse 18, here's the promise, the father of many nations. These angels, you know, the Lord shows up talking to Abraham and he says, you know what? According to the time of life, basically meaning according to the time of giving birth. Sarah's going to give birth to a child. Now I'm not trying to get too funny or graphic, but do you know what happened? Well, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is next in this. But when those three left, you do realize what happened with Abraham and Sarah, right? They had a honeymoon. You understand what I mean? Now, without trying to be too, you know, Abraham would have been a bit surprised at what was happening. And so would she. Because his body was considered dead. Now, she had that baby about a year later. So that means, you know, whether it was once or several times, things changed. Things happened. Now, do you realize that had to happen first before the baby could be conceived and she could give birth? So we're seeing something happen here. And this all started like 25 years ago when God first made a covenant and a promise to and with Abraham. And it says, verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he's about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. So the angel shows up and makes this promise. When this promise was made to him, he at first is being told, Abraham, your wife is going to give birth. Now, in his mind, he knows that Sarah's body is beyond conception, and he knows what's going on with himself. But it says right here, he considered not his own body now dead. Meaning, he came to the conclusion, it's been a while, but this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I'm going to be intimate with my wife again. I don't know how. Because however many years. But it's going to happen. My body is not going to stay dead. And not only that, but my wife, she's going to have at least one more cycle. At least one. And we're going to have a child. Now, here it says in verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead. That word considered means he did not focus his attention on his body or on Sarah's. Now, he knew the conditions. He was living with these conditions. He knew what the problem was. But he did not give attention to anything of the natural that would be a hindrance to God's promise manifesting. What was the hindrance? I'm Abraham, my body's dead. My wife Sarah, her body's dead. In the natural, this cannot happen. It's impossible. But the Lord stood right before me and said, is anything impossible for the Lord? Is everything possible with Him? Are you telling me that there's nothing possible with the Lord? And you know what? That must mean God can work some kind of a miracle in our bodies. Now I want you to think about this. The deadness of Abraham's and Sarah's bodies relative to the promise God had made them, that deadness was a far worse natural condition than nearly everything we face when it comes to God's promises manifesting in our lives. Think about it. We have all kinds of promises. Promises for healing. Promises for, well, blessings. God, He says, I'll meet your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, we can go on and on. Promises of peace, promises of strength, promises of joy, on and on. But the thing is, we don't face the same kind of conditions that Abraham and Sarah faced. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. You know, I don't have a job. Well, you know what? There are a lot of jobs out there. You may not have one now, but there are jobs out there. Abraham and Sarah's body? Trust me. If it had just been about a job, he could have found one. This goes beyond anything that we face. None of us have ever faced those kind of conditions where it is absolutely impossible for something to happen of that magnitude. You say, well, yeah, but you know what? I've got bad vision. I'm terribly nearsighted. Well, you know what? You can go have some of that laser surgery. I mean, there are answers. There are things. But in this kind of a situation, God's made a promise. Now, for us, what makes us think that we cannot receive from God in the same way Abraham did? What was the difference? Well, one of the differences was this. He considered not the natural circumstances that told him it can't happen. And yet, every morning he woke up face to face with those natural circumstances that said it can't happen. every single day. Every day, everything in the natural was saying, it can't happen. It's impossible. It will not work. It will never happen. You can call yourself Abraham all you want, but hey, it's not going to happen. But he didn't stop calling himself Abraham. And he held on to the promises. Even though in the natural there was nothing guaranteeing it was going to happen. Until that one night. Months later. But he had no hope. In fact, even after that night took place, those of you ladies, you know, you've given birth, you know that there's a, you know, period of time, a few days before you finally realize, you know, hey, guess what? Something happened. The point I'm getting at is, Abraham did not consider the circumstances. He did not look at the natural circumstances and say, it can't happen. I don't care what the Lord said. He said, no, it can happen because the Lord said so. I don't have anything else to go by. Because there's nothing in the natural that confirms this is going to happen. Other than the word of the Lord to me, I have nothing else. What else do we want? You know, people that say things, well, I believe it when I see it. I don't want to hear that. The only proof I need is what is recorded in the Word of God. That's all I need, because it's one of two things. God's a liar or he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, then I have his promise. And all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. I have his promises. It's in there. Our problem is that we struggle to believe the promises because we keep considering the circumstances. And then we want to come against people that are trying to not consider the circumstances. And maybe we don't do that, but we've probably been around Christians who want to criticize Christians, other Christians, and even maybe criticize us because we're trying to ignore the circumstances. We're not denying the circumstances. But what we're saying is, I got a promise from God that's greater than the circumstances. And I know that God will come through for me. I don't doubt, but what there were times that Abraham laid in bed at night in his tent, or maybe outside looking up at the stars. Remember, God said, look at the stars, that's what it's going to be like. Look at the sands, it's what it's going to be like. Kind of children, you know, your offspring and so forth. And maybe many people would say, now listen to this, boy. You want me to mess up some traditions for you? Okay. All right, thank you. Somebody said, go ahead. When he was looking up at the stars, and God said, you know, look at the stars. You know, that's what it's going to be like, your offspring. When he said, consider the grains of the sand. And he looked down and he sees, I can't count all. And God said, that's what your offspring's going to be like. He wasn't talking about the Jews. He was looking ahead to the seed, Christ. He was talking about the body of Christ. Does that mean that God, that I don't want to go there. He was, see, what we don't understand the magnitude of what God was after. This is what we're studying here tonight is part of God's redemption plan for mankind. To restore man back into that place that God desired in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And when God said, look at the stars, and God said, look at the grains of the sand, he wasn't saying, that's going to be the Jewish nation. No, he was saying, I am looking to what's going to happen when my son Jesus Christ has completed his work on earth and people can finally be born again and brought back into my family. Amen. That's what he was looking toward. And I don't even know if Abraham fully understood that. But he had nothing in the natural that confirmed it was going to happen. And yet it says he considered not the natural circumstances. Instead, he said, I have a word from God. And here's what God's word says. Now look here in verse, well, pick it up in 19 again. And being not weak in faith, being not weak in faith. Where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abraham wasn't even born again. Abraham, you know, he couldn't pray in the Spirit and build himself up on the most holy faith. You know, he couldn't pray in the Spirit and edify himself. He couldn't do that. He wasn't even born again. Do you realize Abraham, not born again Abraham, unborn again Abraham, puts a lot of Christians to shame? this guy didn't even have a Bible. Hadn't been written yet. I mean, Abraham wasn't even out of the book of Genesis yet. Hadn't been written. And he says, well, you know what? I don't have any scripture for this. All I have is what God spoke to me. I don't even know if he tried to write it down, but he sure remembered it. He said, this is all I have. Now here we have a whole book full of promises. Here we have everything that we need. More, we have more going for us than Abraham did for him. People say, boy, I'll tell you what, I wish I could be like Abraham. Do you know Abraham's up there in heaven saying, boy, I wish I could have been like them. He considered not his own body. He was not weak in faith, even though he wasn't born again. And then it says, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This staggering, it's talking about rationalizing. One way to say it is to rationalize. He didn't say, you know what? Okay, I know what I can do. Now, he started rationalizing. Remember with Hagar? Yeah. But that really wasn't his idea. That was Sarah's. And he went along with it. Man, you got to wonder. But then God steps up and he says, Abraham, sorry, that's not the promise. The promise is going to come from Sarah's womb. Not your handmaid. It's not going to happen. And so here's Abraham. He's living with this. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't rationalize. He didn't try to figure it out. He didn't try to... I know the Hagar thing, but he didn't try to help God. It says he was persuaded. Fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You ever notice how we like to help God? Seriously. Oh God, that car of mine's falling apart. I need another car. Oh God, I need another car. Oh Father, I need another car. But, now it doesn't have to be a new one. Okay? It doesn't have to be a new one. And, in fact, really, I mean, it could be a 10-year-old car. Just, I mean, as long as it's got like a steering wheel. And I'd like for the heater to work. And it'd be nice if the air conditioner worked too. You know, it gets kind of hot in the summer. And you know, just as long as it's not all eaten up with rust. I mean, a used car is okay, God. You know why we do that, don't you? Because we think it's easier for God to get us a used vehicle than a new one. And we're trying to make it as easy as possible for God. Let's be honest. You want a new vehicle, all right? But you just don't admit it to God. But he already knows what you're thinking and what's in your heart. Just be honest with him. God, I want a new one. Now, does that mean you're guaranteed to get a new one? I'm not standing here and telling you that. But what I'm saying is, we stagger. We are staggering, and we're trying to make it easier for God. So, what, you think he's up in heaven thinking, okay, now wait a second, let me get this straight. You said that you'll accept a used car over a brand new one? Yes, God, that's right. I'll take a used one. Oh, thank you so much. Whew. Listen, you know what it's been like up here. I'm having to pay up on all these thousand-fold offerings. And it's been tied up here in heaven. Listen, last month I had to sequester some of the angels. I'm so glad you said you're willing to take a used vehicle. That I can do, but the new, thank you. Seriously, think about this. Do you know what we do?
We look around at what we see in the natural, and we begin to rationalize what we think God can do based upon what we see in the natural. Then we turn around and we try to make it really easy for God, because we think that's going to make it, well, we got a better chance of getting something if we make it easy for God.
I'll take a beater.
Oh, God, if you just please would supply me with a roll of duct tape, I know I'd be able to hold that washer and dryer together for maybe another 6 months. And I'll be able to use it and tape up little Johnny's broken arm, because, you know, we don't have money to go to the doctor. Just, it don't have to be a fancy color, just plain old gray duct tape. It can be half used on the side of the road. Oh, God. We try to make it easy for him because we think that's going to work better. I don't want to seem greedy. Who said you're being greedy? See, that's our way of looking at it. That is staggering. That's staggering. Why not just be honest and tell him what you want? The reason is because we're just not sure he'll come through. We're just not sure it'll really happen. Now, why is that? Lack of faith. Abraham said, you know what? Sarah over here, she's really old. And I'm older, and ain't nothing working right. But God said, we're going to have a baby. Do you hear that, Sarah? Stop laughing. God said, we're going to have a baby. So you know what? I'm going to put on some cologne. Old Spice. You follow what I'm saying? There was nothing that told him it could work other than the Word of God. And he didn't try to make it easy for God either. Once he got past Hagar, he learned his lesson. And it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief is what leads to the staggering. Unbelief. Now, I am as guilty of this as anybody else. Because when I talk to God about things and ask God for things and I say I'm believing and I'll quote the scriptures and so forth, the last thing I need to do is start mumbling, grumbling, and murmuring about how come, why not, where is it? I need to just sit down and have a talk with myself and ask me what my problem is. Because if God's word has made a promise, look, what, guys, look, you know, please understand, I'm not talking about, well, you know what, I'm just going to believe that I'm going to be a billionaire. That is not what we're talking about here. Abraham wasn't believing for money. God made a promise. You have a kid. He said, okay, well, that's what I'm hanging on to then. I believe that. What is a need in your life?
Well, bless God, I'm a faith person. I don't confess my needs.
Well, you need to learn to. Because God said he'd supply your need. So, what's there to supply if it ain't there? See this? You've got preachers going to make you feel guilty for asking God for something. Well, you know what? He supplies the need. You know what would be good? Go back and read the life of the Apostle Paul. That guy didn't have a problem presenting need. And he's the guy preachers quotes from to try and tell you, don't confess your needs. Paul didn't have a problem. Hey, Paul talked about all kinds of stuff that faith people tell you shouldn't talk about. I'm going to be teaching on that someday. The thing is, if we say we believe God, then guys, we ought to be believing God instead of staggering. If God has made a promise, then we are not out of line to believe Him for that promise. Not at all. Is there a need in your life? I don't know what it would be. Do you need a bigger house? Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But do you? Well, yeah. Well, have you seen any houses you thought would work for you? Well, yeah. But we could never afford that. Why not? Oh, hey, y'all. Oh, the money that's coming in, why we could never afford that kind of mortgage. Oh, okay. So make it easy for God. Believe for a house that's smaller than what you already have. Well, why would I want to do that? Well, you're staggering, man. What makes you think you're going to get anything from God when you stagger like that? The moment that you start saying things like, I could never afford, is the moment you are staggering at the promises of God. Do you need a bigger house? Do you need it? Do you need a bigger apartment? Do you need it? Is that need real? Don't say, well, you know, we could get by. The kids got bunk beds. I mean, we could probably maybe get another bed on top of that one. Have, you know, three beds stacked. You know, come on, let's be real here. Let's be real and let's be honest. Now, I'm just using the house as an example. Do you need a bigger house? Now, if the answer is yes, you know what you need to do is, number one, forget about trying to figure out how to get a loan. Number two, forget about trying to make the payments. Number three, focus on the promises of God. Focus on His promises. Do you need another vehicle? A bigger one? Well, yeah, you know, I can. All right, then you know what? Stop talking, I could never afford. Well, Brother Martin, you're just talking crazy talk now. Why, you just saying we should go out and borrow money. Did you hear me say that? Did you, huh? No, you didn't. Get in the Word of God. What are the promises? See, that's where we struggle. We don't want to talk about our need, because if we can't figure out how it can be met, then God sure can't figure out how it can be met. So we just kind of, you know, go along with whatever the struggles are. Abraham said, yeah, you know, my body, Sarah's body, you know, we're getting up there. You know, I mean, thank God for ARP. Okay, maybe not. We rationalize, we stagger. And then we try to make it easier for God. When the truth of the matter is, it's like you got up in heaven wondering. Now, I know this isn't exactly how it works, okay? Wondering, why are you doing this? I made you a promise. Have you forgotten about that heir of the world thing? Have you forgotten about that? Have you forgotten who you're talking to? I'm God. I can make an axe head float. I can raise the dead. What is it about my promises that you think they don't apply to you? Why are you trying to fix things your own way? Didn't you learn from Abraham and Hagar? Oh yeah, Abraham ended up with a son, but it sure wasn't the right kind of son. And have you forgotten? Those boys are still fighting today. Look, the only thing that we can do is get into the Word of God and be convinced that His promises are real. And stop staggering. One of the things that's so difficult for me is when I'm around Christians who are talking opposite of God's promises. I just don't know how we'll ever get this done. I just don't know how we'll ever do that. I just don't know how we'll ever afford. I just don't. Now, it's one thing to be crazy. You know, yeah, we need a bigger house. I'll take one like, you know, the Clampets had. You know, there's a house that's not too far from here. That's over 13,000 square feet. And there's another one that's back here over off Kemp Road. From what I've read, the thing's over 30,000 square feet. That's a house. I mean, you have to have a GPS just to find a bathroom. I know it's in here somewhere. You better find it soon. 30,000 square feet. Who needs a house that big? But it's out there. I'm not talking about you need a bigger house. Well, yes, bless God, I want one of those. No, you need what you need. What do you need? What kind of vehicle do you need? What kind of washer and dryer do you need? What do you need? See, God made a promise to Abraham. Do you realize God needed Abraham's faith to bring the promise into existence? God is like, God said, all right, look, here's what I will do for you. You're going to have a child. Abraham said, well, sounds good to me since I don't have one. God says, trust me and be patient. Abraham says, well, okay, I can do that. Time passes. Sarah says, well, I thought, you know, all right, well, I'm old. Here, the maid. Can you imagine? I don't know if I, you know, there I sit sometimes, I think about that story. It's like, what in the world was she thinking? And what went through Abraham's mind when she came to him and said, I've got an idea. What? You know, anyway, listen, I can promise you for a fact, Kathy is never going to come to me. Jim, I have an idea. Get thee behind me. Abraham had to do his part for God to fulfill his part. It's the same thing for us today. If we keep staggering, if we keep considering, how's God supposed to work through that? Faith, grace. That's how it works. Faith, grace. We have God's promises. God, you promised to meet my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And don't be shy about asking for what you need. Don't be shy. I don't doubt, one time, I don't doubt that Abraham, maybe one night he's talking to God and said, God, you do realize that my body's dead. And, you know, that's got to be fixed. I don't doubt but what he thought about that, but he did not consider it. And he did not stagger. No, listen, he did not stagger at that reality. Because it was real, but it wasn't God's word. It was real, but it wasn't the promise. So God had to do what he did, but Abraham held on to it. And he believed. And he never let go of that. Same thing for us. Don't be ashamed to ask. You know, well, you know, we need to do a washer and dryer. Well, let's go to the store and look. Oh, they got a special. You know, here's a $250 washer and a $250 dryer. Folks, I don't know if you've been shopping lately, but you don't get much of a washer or a dryer for $250. Do you need one of those big old things, you know? I mean, if you got a bunch of kids, you need a big washer and you need a big dryer. I saw a thing on TV. They had so many kids, they had two washers and two dryers. Well, if you need it, you need it. But it's like we feel like we're imposing by asking God. We're not imposing. Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe he's up there waiting for us to ask and then to stand in faith believing that the need's going to be met? Stagger not. Stop with the, I'll never be able to afford. Just start trusting God in his word. This isn't about acting foolishly. It's about changing what we believe and say so that what we believe and say lines up with the word of God and then not doing something stupid like, well, I'm going to borrow the money and just believe that God's going to come through. No, no. Well, then how am I going to get the money for it? There you go. There you go. And God may lead you to get a loan. He may. But then he's going to provide the money to make the payments. See, I remember, you remember Mike O'Brien's story about the healing. Diagnosed with the cancer, the doctors told him, said, look, you know, this is bad. You need to go through the chemo and all this other kind of stuff. But he prayed about it. No, I'm going to stand in faith. And the cancer left. Cancer was gone. Time passes. Cancer shows up in another part of his body. And he goes to God and he prays. And he says, Father, do I have the faith to fight this the way I did last time? And God told him, no, this time you need to go to the doctor. And so he went to the doctor and did what the doctor said. But he still held on to the promises of God for his healing. Well, faith people out there will tell you, well, that wasn't faith. Yeah, it was. He went to God and asked. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a bunch of Christians out there who have died because they didn't go before God to find out what is their status and talk to Him about that. If we keep staggering, we're not going to see a whole lot manifest. I need this as well. Maybe you don't stagger, but I need this message tonight. I need to hear this because I think I stagger more than what I'd like to admit. But I tell you this, Abraham wasn't even born again, and look what he accomplished for God. And here we are, literally God's children. How much more can we do if we stagger not?